Good afternoon. You're listening to Campus K News for Monday, March 23rd. I'm Taylor Heckert. Petersburg's elementary school will be getting new accessible playground equipment next school year. It's part of a $170,000 grant the school district received for special education. As KFSK reports, it will help pay for equipment that focuses on students with limited mobility. The playground at Petersburg's Racy Stedman Elementary School has swings, slides, monkey bars, and lots of things to climb on. But if you're a student who's in a wheelchair or has limited mobility, playing on that equipment may be difficult or impossible. That's where this new playground equipment comes in. Here's Special Education Director Cindy Fry.
The idea is, and the need of it is, to have a playground where our students who have accessibility concerns, either limited physical and or if they are in wheelchairs or alternative movement devices, they can have places where their peers can come join them, and it's at their level and it's interactive.
The district has received $170,000 in grant funding from the Hurstwood Education Foundation, a nonprofit that supports special education projects in schools. About $128,000 will be used to completely cover the costs of new equipment. The remaining money will be used on professional development for special education staff. Fry says only a handful of elementary students have limited mobility, about 10 or less. But it's still important to include these students at recess. Superintendent Robin Taylor agrees.
This allows them to be down there with their peers, interacting with their peers.
Fry says they're planning on adding an art station, a music station, and an area for removable sand or water tables. They'll extend the existing covered structure on the playground, so this area will be dry too. She says this equipment will be something that all kids can use.
So it's not targeting just those students who specifically need to be able to access and one way or another, but it's something that every single kid can choose if that's what they choose to engage in.
And she says these additions to the playground will offer options for kids who have different play styles at recess.
Not every student really wants to run around or go on the slides. Like, there's those kids who are just a little bit more quiet, maybe a little bit more artistic, and this will be a great place for all of those students, or any kid, really.
The district hopes to get the new playground equipment installed this summer. In Petersburg, I'm Taylor Heckert. The city and borough of Juneau plans to move into a new city hall by the end of this year. That means the current building could be up for sale in the coming months. At a committee meeting last Monday, the Juneau Assembly moved forward with an ordinance that, if approved, would make the property located on Heritage Way in downtown Juneau available for purchase. The minimum bid would be $2.5 million. This comes after years of push and pull between city administrators and Juneau voters over whether Juneau really needs a new city hall. At the meeting, most assembly members supported putting some conditions on the sale to support community goods, such as year-round occupancy, or community goals, such as year-round occupancy. But some caution that adding too many conditions will dissuade potential buyers. Assembly member Christine Wall said the city will need to balance values with recouping funds.
This project to move City Hall has been very expensive, more expensive than we would have ever wanted, and the public is not happy about it. So I do feel like we have a responsibility to get at least fair market value for this property.
City Manager Katie Kester says while the building is in a prime location, it needs a lot of updates.
I think there's definitely a good chance that someone who purchased this would want to take down the building.
Juneau's current City Hall building near Marine Park fits less than half of city employees and needs millions of dollars in maintenance and repairs. The city asked voters twice during recent municipal elections to approve bond debt to pay for the construction of a new City Hall, but they shot it down both times. Instead, last fall, the Juneau Assembly greenlit the multi-million-dollar purchase of two floors of the Michael J. Burns Building in the Flats neighborhood to become Juneau's new City Hall location after renovations. Kester says the sale could take a while, but the intent is to finalize it by the time city staff move into the new location.
We are working towards a deadline of moving into that building by the end of the calendar year. Still probably a little optimistic, but that would be the goal.
The Juneau Assembly plans to take public comment on the ordinance at a future meeting before voting, but they will also take up the topic again as a committee to discuss how they want to sell the building and any potential conditions they want added to the sale. The Ketchikan Indian community last fall purchased a former resort north of town with the intent of turning it into an addiction healing center. And one of the first steps in doing so is rezoning the property. The Ketchikan Gateway Borough Assembly took the first step to approve the rezoning request after nearly 5 hours of public testimony at last week's meeting. KRBD's Hunter Morrison was there and has this story.
Over 50 community members turned out to speak for and against the proposed rezone of Salmon Falls. Emily Edenshaw is the CEO for the local tribe, KIC. She addressed the assembly about the need for a local addiction healing center before the public comment forum.
Addiction continues to impact our families, our workplaces, and our future, and too many people still lack access to the care they need. Growth alone does not define us. Leadership does. And leadership is measured not by how we expand, but how we care for our people.
KIC's request is to rezone 5 adjoining lots on the property from future development and low-density residential zones to the general commercial zone. This could allow for a range of retail, wholesale, and service establishments. According to KIC's rezone application, the request would allow continued commercial use of the property, which historically operated as a bar, restaurant, and hotel. The borough's planning commission, which suggests zoning recommendations to the assembly, decided the rezoning wasn't necessary. The commission said that KIC's intended use for the property fit largely within its current zoning parameters. But borough officials indicate that much of the property's commercial history supports the rezone for 3 of the 5 lots. Many residents who spoke in favor of the rezoning request and the Holistic Healing Center have ties to KIC. Some spoke about the need for a healing center rooted in culture. Others shared personal experiences with substance misuse.
He reached out. He asked for treatment. He did everything we tell people in crisis they're supposed to do. And that system failed him.
That's Gianna Willard speaking to the assembly about her brother. She says he died of a drug overdose while waiting for a bed at a rehab facility.
There was no facility close to home. There was no bed available. There was no place that understood who he was, where he came from, or what he had been carrying his entire life.
Non-tribal members also spoke in favor, saying a rehabilitation facility is needed in Ketchikan so that locals struggling with substance misuse won't have to seek treatment elsewhere. Leif Stevens, who recently celebrated his first year of sobriety, says he's had to travel thousands of miles for treatment.
You know, we get a bad rap, and we may be lost, and we may be doing bad things, but we're not bad people, and we're just ready to heal. And having this close by, nearby, would be so great for this community.
But not all who took to the podium spoke in support of the rezoning request. Similar to January's Planning Commission meeting, residents who live in the nearby Waterfall Creek subdivision are concerned that a change in zoning could alter its low-density rural residential character. The neighborhood was established in the 1980s with that framework in mind. Madison Rasmussen Mulder is worried about how a zoning change for the former resort could impact infrastructure, public safety, and the future of zoning changes.
Is this the precedence the borough would like to set for the entire community? Anyone, anywhere can rezone their property, no matter the cost to those around them.
Some Waterfall Creek residents also spoke about the potential for property values to depreciate if the wellness center is brought to fruition. Mary Kowalczyk says she lives less than 1,000 feet from the former resort and is worried about how a zoning change could impact her quality of life.
A zoning request to general commercial will potentially allow a large range of retail, wholesale, service establishments and adverse effects on the low-density residential area.
After about 30 minutes of clarifications and suggested zoning alternatives, the assembly approved rezoning 3 of the 5 lots on the Salmon Falls property to the general commercial zone. A second reading and public hearing are set for April 6th. The rezone will take effect, if approved, at that meeting. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Hunter Morrison.
A group of kids in Fairbanks put their creativity to the test in an ice sculpture carving competition last week. They spent their spring break bundled against record-breaking winter temperatures. But participants say the toughest challenge wasn't the cold, it was their ability to work as a team. Shelby Herbert reports for the Alaska Desk.
Professional ice carvers from all across the globe come to Fairbanks every winter to show off their talents at the World Ice Art Championships. This year is no exception. A snowy forest path leads you past sculptures that are usually whimsical, sometimes grotesque, and almost always humongous, like a school bus-sized spider monster, rats with swords, and three large scrolls inscribed with the Bill of Rights. But the newest installations were made by kids. Eight teams of them carved sculptures for the annual youth competition. I join the kids at their workstations on a frigid morning as the earliest rays of sun bent through the glassy surfaces of their projects. They're hard at work, hunched over their sculptures with electric and acoustic hand tools like chisels. Instructor Mark Chapin says it's been a tough but rewarding week.
You learn to work with others, and you find a friend or a partner that you work well with, and that really helps you work through the difficult times. Actually, got a late start yesterday. We came in, it was about 34 degrees below zero.
He says this year's historically low temperatures have actually made it harder to sculpt ice. Even for the most experienced world champions, the extreme cold disrupts a technique called fusing, which is when you glue two pieces of ice together with water.
To get a good fuse at minus 40 is very hard. As you can see, some pieces have fallen off, and that's just because the water and ice just don't freeze as well when it's very cold, so the seam is weak.
But Chapin says this is the biggest collection of finished youth projects they've had in years. At the end of the week, the projects are ready to be looked over by a panel of judges. The teams gather on a stage made of ice.
This has been one of the coldest youth competitions we have had. It has been cold, but that'll make you bold.
The participants line up to receive certificates ranking their sculptures. And finally, the winning team is announced.
And last of all, Salmon Run with Liz and Eve Hansen. Sisters, let's go.
Fairbanks sisters Liz and Eve Hansen sketched out their idea on a pizza box during a family movie night. A king salmon head with a humanoid bottom half. Legs playfully kicking up in the air.
Because it was silly.
Yeah.
Let's put legs on a salmon.
It's like a silly reverse mermaid. That was like our thing. And yeah, then we decided to do salmon because like Alaska and stuff.
They said their secret was good communication and teamwork, even through the mishaps.
The foot fell
the
off
foot
a
and
lot.
The leg that's like standing up like this.
That also that fell apart. I marked it wrong and then it looked funky.
Eve, yeah, Eve marked it wrong.
But we fixed it, so it was okay.
Their mom, Amanda Hansen, still hasn't seen it, but she's been eating up her daughter's daily project updates and says she couldn't be more excited.
And I'm like, I'm taking my mom hat off. I know you're going to win because it's creative. It's Alaska related. It's hilarious. And it's whimsical. And it has to at least get top three, you know.
Eve and Liz lead her down into a glade with all the kids' completed projects. There's a penguin, a goldfish leaping out of a bowl, and a towering Eye of Sauron from the Lord of the Rings series, all lit up from beneath with colorful LED lights. Amanda is dabbing at her eyes with her glove, but maybe that's just the cold.
Are you going to cry?
I don't know, maybe. Oh my God. That is the coolest, you guys. Oh my God.
You can see those sculptures yourself until the end of the month when the festival closes. And with Fairbanks' record-breaking cold snap, they're likely to stay mostly unmelted until then. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
The troller Sierra Dawn that was reported overdue out of Petersburg has been located. The daughter of 60-year-old Bruce Sorensen, who was operating the boat, confirmed to Campus K that he was found. For Campus K, I'm Taylor Heckert.